from the study of this book of Ecclesiastes, Understanding Riches, Part 4, Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Just one thought for our meditation. God is the giver of all blessing, and He is also the giver of the man's ability to enjoy these blessings. Andrew Murray, in his classic book on the subject of humility, he wrote, he says, when God created the universe, it was with the objective of making those He created partakers of His perfection and blessedness, and of showing in it the glory of His love, His wisdom, and His power. And He tells us God wished to reveal Himself in and through created beings by communicating to them as much of His own goodness and glory as they were capable of receiving. But this does not mean that man was given something which he could possess in itself, or certain life or goodness of which he had the charge and disposal. By no means. You see, when we become a Christian and we deny self and we allow God to live in and through us, God's blessing comes upon us and it overflows to the people around us. But we need to realize that this power that God gives to us is from Him. By no means it is anything of ourselves. And God wants us to realize it, because it is easy when men receive the blessings of God to forget the giver. And God wants us to not forget. And that is how Murray defined humility. That man's life ought to be that constant dependence upon God. And so he wants us to understand our position in the light of God's created order. And so Murray says, as God is the ever-living, ever-present, ever-acting one, who upholds all things by the word of His power, and in whom all things exist, the relationship of man to God could only be one of unceasing, absolute, universal dependence. So he wants us to recognize this truth, that we are so dependent upon God that everything that we are and we have is from Him. And so this order of affairs between the Creator and His most prized creation, man, that is us, endowed with an eternal soul that is made in His image, must duly acknowledge. God wants us to acknowledge who we are, that we are made in His image. But we are made from the dust, and we will return to the dust. We are nothing if God will not create glory in us. There is no glory to speak about. And if we have not understood that, then our life will have that missing link, that dissatisfaction, that emptiness, that lack of fullness. So Murray says, as truly as God by His power once created, so truly by that same power must God every moment maintain. Man need only look back to the origin of existence, and he will acknowledge that he owes everything to God. And man's chief care his highest virtue and his only happiness now and through all eternity is to present himself as an empty vessel in which God can dwell and manifest his power and goodness. The life God bestows is imparted not once and for all. God's power in our lives comes bit by bit. As the psalmist says, the heart panteth after the water brooks. Right? The heart, the little deer, right? It's not a camel. You drink the water and it will sustain you for a lifetime. No, the little heart drinks with its little mouth and it has to come back again and again for nourishment. And this is who we are. We have to come back again and again to God for strength, for life. So the life God bestows, Murray says, is imparted not once and for all, but each moment continuously by the unceasing operation of his mighty power. God is the creator of the universe, and in particular of man, but he is also the sustainer of it. See, we are very forgetful. This morning we were studying the life of Israel, Jacob, Genesis 47. How he was brought by his son Joseph to the presence of Pharaoh, the ruler of the known world at that time. And how our text tells us that Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And not Pharaoh blessed Jacob, but Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Because God was with Jacob. He was the covenant inheritor of blessing, where God will use them to become a nation, to be a testimony to all nations of the world. And therefore, you know, the famine that came, it came because God allowed it, so that Israel will go, 66 of them, to Egypt, and there in Goshen, the best land in Egypt at that time, will be given to them, and they would grow to become a people. It was all in God's plan. And Jacob, Joseph, was in the will of God, living in the will of God, fulfilling the plan of God for their lives. And God's power flowed through them. And they came and they blessed Pharaoh. And God wants us to know the power of that dependence, the strength of it. See, when you have God with you, omnipotence is with you. And the people around you receive blessings because of who you are. You know, and if you utter a prayer for someone, God hears your prayer for that someone. And God blesses that person as you pray. See what great blessings we have as the people of God. And he wants us to reach that position of humility, that position of dependence, so that our life will continually receive the blessings of God. And that dependence upon God comes with a willingness to submit to the will of God for our lives. Having God with us and having heaven to look forward to, God wants us to live this present life with contentment. Whatever the outward state will be, trust God to take care of you. Can you do that? We should do that. And this is what God wants us to do. to live with that kind of a stillness in our heart, that kind of a confidence in our heart, that come what may, whatever happens to us, as we walk with God, His presence, His power, His will abides with us. And is there anything bad that can happen to us? Well, every so-called bad thing that you can think of that will happen to you, you know that is allowed by God, and therefore you have no fear. Although you are going through whatever difficult situation you might be going through. And so Solomon is carrying for us this idea from chapter 5, which we have been studying for the last 3 weeks, about the snare of riches. Right? Now in chapter 6, he's going to give you further insight. Okay, he tells us of the typical measures of prosperity in this life. Right? The man on the street, the man in this world, will measure wealth, honor, children, long life. If you have all these things, you are called a successful person. You are a prosperous person. And he tells us these are useless to a man if he's unable to enjoy it. So Solomon is telling us that there is such a thing as earthly prosperity. But he has also seen that earthly prosperity, as man would define it, is elusive even to the man of God. And he wants us to come to terms with these things. Charles Bridges, the commentator, he says, "For sickness, affliction, or worldly disappointment restrained the blessing." Oftentimes something crop up in our life. Then you say, "Aiya, why like that?" Oftentimes we cannot come to terms with all these happenings that comes in our lives. But we must have that peace in our heart as we walk with God, right? That God knows what He's bringing us through. And He wants us to be still before Him as we search our hearts, as we seek to walk with Him. Let us realize that He is God and that we are not. We are the clay and He is the potter. So this morning we were speaking about Israel. How Israel began, had a humble beginning. But after God prospered them, after God brought them to the promised land, they turned from God. When prosperity came to them, they decided that their blessing comes from themselves. They don't need God. And so Jeremiah spoke about how God decides to take away the benefits that He has benefited them. He says He is the potter. He is the one making whatever He makes with His hands. And when He is marred, He will just make another one. And so God wants us to see and know our humble position before God. He can do anything as He pleases. And there is nothing we can say as creatures. But one thing we can do is to keep trusting Him, to keep faith with the heart of God, that basic premise that God is love, that His kindness, that His love toward us doesn't diminish, not by the circumstances that we see in front of us. And so the two thoughts, or the one thought that we want us to see, God is the giver of all blessings and the power to enjoy it. It seems, as we look at this, what Solomon is saying to us, it seemed to be a misnomer here. He says, it seems to have been a judicial inflection. That's what Bridges says. He says, he did not use the gifts of his bountiful father for their rightful purpose. Most justly, therefore, is he deprived of their blessing. So, you know, he's giving an insight, he's reading and saying, you know, from the text that perhaps, is it possible that this man has not been walking with God? God has blessed him with all this wealth, all these riches, but he has not been doing what he ought to do with them. And this is a deserved end that comes. And so Bridges, he says, because he has not the will to serve God with it, God denies the power to serve himself with it. His portion, the stranger eateth. And this is what is the sense of verse 1 and 2. Right? Solomon is giving us an observation there. He says that there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. What I'm saying to you is commonly observed to be the plight of men. A man to whom God has given riches. So God is the one. Is traced to him that all these riches, all this wealth, all this honor is bestowed, so that he wanted nothing for his soul of all that he desired. Yet God giveth him not power to eat, but the stranger eateth it. What happened? Why is it like that? As I look and I ponder upon these words of Solomon, you realize that it is true. When you view it as life under the sun, you would see, right, that yes, it happens, it's a common phenomenon. But if you were to analyze it from the Word of God, you will find that several scenarios can come. Could it be that he had been withholding all this that he had? God said, what use do I have to give you all these things when you are not a wise steward for it all? I remember the parable of the talent. Right? The one talent man, he took his talent and he hid it, buried it, not used it at all. So it was wasted, in other words. Could this be a judgment upon such a man? And then I was pondering, and we also see that there is that man called Job. When Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of Job has already been written. The book of Job is the earliest book of the Bible. It came even before the Pentateuchs, the first five books. And so the Lord wants us to see the life of this man Job. How he had riches, he had honor, he had children, but he lost them all suddenly. You know, the Sabians came and took all his cattle away. Strangers came and consumed what he had. So if you were to analyze and think, you would see that in Job's case, it was not because of any misliving we said, on his part. Right? He was walking with integrity. And yet, God allowed this to happen to him. What happened? Well, because Satan came. Right? We had the privilege of hindsight to understand that conversation in God's throne room when God said to Job or Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? That he's a man of integrity who loved God and hate evil. He is a righteous man." And Satan says, "It's because you have blessed him, you have put a hedge around him. But if you were to take away all these things from him, surely he will curse you on your face." And so this was the challenge meted out. And God allowed Job to be tested. And that's why within that short period of time, he lost everything. He had 10 children. He lost the 10 children. So for Job, he didn't have the hindsight of the conversation at God's throne room with Satan. So he didn't know what happened to him. And for us in this life, we will also see that as you live through life, there are certain events that cannot be explained. You don't know why you're going through. But what is the response of Job to all that took place in his life? Right? If you look at Job chapter 1, which is in your notes, you see right at the end there, in page 4 of your notes, and page 20 or 19, okay, when it says here, "And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I am escaped alone to tell thee." So he's saying that calamity had come upon his life. Suddenly, all that he had is taken away from him. Then Job arose, verse 20 says, "and rent his mantle and shaved his head." This is a response of humiliation. Great humiliation has come upon him. He fell upon the ground. Verse 20 says, "and worshipped." Very interesting. You see the response of this man? He worshipped God when somebody else was eating his bounty. Because he was a man of integrity. He walked with God. Remember, he wake up every morning to pray. Pray for himself, pray for his children, offer sacrifices on their behalf. And you know that he knows in his own heart that whatever sin that he has, God has forgiven. So he could not understand. But one thing he could do was to trust God. During that time when he could not understand, when the stranger came and took away his food, he worshipped and he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He humbled himself before God, and he submitted himself to God's will for his life. Not easy. have to humble ourselves and take away all our pride. Everything has to be taken away. We are bare before God. And embarrassed, you may say. But we understand that we are creatures, you see, in the hand of God. And what can we demand of God? Nothing we can demand. We can only plead for mercy. And so God wants us to reach that kind of understanding of who we are in our life. We must realize that we are nothing. And God can turn things, you know, to the worst. And we must be prepared. And this was what Job did. Although he did not understand why such calamity would befall him, he trusted God during these most difficult moments by casting all his care upon the Lord. Even when men came and tormented him and accused him, he refused to buckle. He understood his own position and he stand his ground. You know what he's doing. Peter said, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exhort you in due time. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you." You know, for the Christian, there will be a time when God will vindicate you. And it may not be this earth, you know, but in eternity. And we must have that faith to live life in the light of that eternity, you see. Not easy to do that. That's why Solomon is writing for us, you know, that, if you think of the life of this man, he had wealth, he had honor, he had children, he had long life, and yet he can't enjoy life. He can't enjoy all that he has. God didn't give him the appetite. God didn't give him the strength. And when we think about this, we realize how weak we are. How God is God and that we are not. And therefore in life, as we think about what Solomon is telling us in this text, let us not, as the saying goes, count our chickens. Let us be in a position whereby you let God dictate. Let God show the way. Give or don't give. Let God be the one. See, and not easy to come to that stage of contentment, right? Before God. Not easy. But that is what is life above the sun. If you live life below the sun, then you would be what Solomon will say, like what Solomon would say concerning this man. He observed that he had honor, he had wealth, he had children, he had long life, but he had no ability to enjoy it. It seemed that it's such a losing situation. But in the eyes of God, God sees things differently, you see. And God wants us to know. And the psalmist make this very insightful observation in Psalm 39, verse 4 and 5. He says, "Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. He says that let me know, give me a realistic understanding of myself, how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a hand breadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. And so God wants us to see that we have nothing to boast in life. You know, because all these things happen, and God is the one in charge of ordering one thing and bringing to pass another thing. And so what we can do is to simply, humbly submit to God. And just do what you need to do for the Lord, for the day. You have work to do, do it. God placed loved ones with you, love them. And look ahead, hope in God, and trust that He will do all things good for you. And it's true that, you know, at the end of chapter 5, we were saying that God made all things for us to enjoy, right? So last week we said, not wrong if you have honestly earned your keeps, then it is for up to you how you can enjoy it. But here in chapter 6, He tells us that after you have earned your keeps, there can come situation whereby you don't get to enjoy it. Then what do you do? So there are many who would live with a restless spirit, right? A spirit of discontentment. Why like that? And will shake the fist at the Lord and said, why do you allow me to go through all these things? Why? Why? And why? But a child of God who is submitted to the will of God and know that he is clay in a potter's hands, then he would not even dare to utter why. As Job did, he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked will I go. I have nothing to talk about. We have nothing to talk about before God. And God wants us to be able to see and understand this text. So He tells us in verse 2, a man to whom God has given riches and wealth and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. Now, why do you call it an evil disease? Why do you say it is all vanity? I believe it's when we refuse to come to terms with God's will for our lives, that when we are faced with such a scenario. And you would find that this is a difficult scenario. difficult if you are the one experiencing it, right? Just like we said about Job. If it comes upon you, you're not going to like it at all. Because, you know, you feel the sadness of it all. But if you were to put your trust in God and know your position as a creature before God, that there's nothing you can demand of God, then you will reach a state of submission and contentment. And that was what happened. You know, you study the life of Jacob. That was what happened to him. One episode after another episode after another episode in the younger days of his life. He was full of his own ways, and God had to teach him that dependence upon God. I remember his brother was going to come the next morning. He was in the brook, and an angel came and wrestled with him. He knew that when the brother come, oh, that's it. You know, he's not going to make it, because the angel had crippled him. Not going to run, cannot run away, crippled. So he had to learn to depend on God, that if God doesn't bless him, he doesn't have. And he just have to live with God's will for him. Remember when he was with Laban, the uncle, and how, you know, he chose to have all the speckled sheep, not easy to get. And yet, you know, God blessed him. He had to trust God, and God blessed him with all this multitude of speckled sheep. God wants us to learn how to trust him, how to walk with him, how to obey him. And he gives us difficult circumstances in our lives to challenge us to obedience. And the more we resist, the more we would be challenged until we are subdued before God. Right? That's why Jacob said, if you do not bless me, there's nothing I could do anymore. Lord, please bless me. He pleaded with God. And that's what we can do with God. Lord, please help me. Please have mercy on me. I'm in a difficult situation. I know that if you do not bless, I'm in trouble. So the only way you could do is to plead with God and to submit to his will. If a man beget 100 children, verse 3 says, and live many years, so the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good. Also, that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. So a man upon earth, if you look at a man who live up to an old age, and he seemed, you know, although he had many children, and yet, you know, there was no one with him at his deathbed. It was a very sad situation. We had one man whom we know. He was in a home, and we got to meet up with him. And he said, I wanted to commit suicide because I was a rich man. I sold my houses and I gave my son, my children, an education abroad. The son has double PhD. But the son left him. He's in a destitute home all by himself. What happened? We cannot tell. But he walked up one day, up the lift, and he says, "I want to end it all." But I was a little coward, you know. But at that time, in the lift, there was a Christian lady who saw, and he stopped me. That's why I was arranged. I came to this destitute home. That's where we got to know him, in a destitute home. So we cannot understand why, you know, as he thinks about his own life, he says, "You have children, and you have given them all, and yet they treat you like this." You know, you cannot understand that. That, you know, Solomon says is a common thing among men. Evil disease, an ungrateful heart, ungrateful children. But what he's saying to us here is observation of a man upon earth. This is what you would see him. If you take a camera and, you know, roll it, and you watch his life, this is what you will see. And your immediate response will be that, "Aiya, you know, why like that?" You feel a sense of dissatisfaction. If you would view it under the sun. But if you were to look at it from God's perspective, understand that you are a creature. God is creator. And you are willing to submit to the will of God. He has prepared eternity for you. Is there anything that you lose now is of any significance in eternity? He will even create your body anew. You may be faced with physical affliction in your heart, in your life. Sickness. Does it matter in eternity? Doesn't matter. But now as you go through, you find it difficult to live like that, to be submitted to the will of God. And Solomon is telling us that, yes, it is common. And if we were to analyze it, we would say that yes, there is cause for dissatisfaction. But if you were to look in the whole perspective of God and his relationship with men, and we are willing to come to terms and be willing, whatever circumstances, to, you know, not demand anything from God, in a sense that, you know, not demand an outcome, your desired outcome, but be willing to submit to his will, whatever it is, then you find that your life would be peace in your heart. And God wants you to live with that kind of a peace, see? That is the life that is not under the sun. You can have children. Children can be ungrateful. And yet, you know, you are at rest in your soul. God allowed it. And we must reach that kind of a spiritual maturity in our life, so that we know that nothing bad, nothing, you know, that God cannot do to us, that we will not be willing to take. Not easy. But that is the relationship between the creature and the creator. God wants us to be willing to humble ourselves and to submit to His will. May God help us. Let us pray. Father, we want to pray and ask that Thou be merciful to help us to see a most difficult, the most difficult descriptions of man's life, even when a man walks with God. It seems there is not a desired outcome from it, from that walk. Lord, we pray that Thou would help us not to see life with our feeble senses, but to see life in the perspective of our relationship with Thee, that You are God and we are Thy creature. May Thou help us to learn this lesson of dependence, of submission, of yielding to Thee. And Lord, may Thou be merciful to help Thy people struggling to understand life. O God, may Thy peace comes to Thy people by Thy mercy. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.